This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The voters are really eager to hear what your plans are. If you are elected, what would you do on day one in the White House?
Well, there are a number of things. I will tell you, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. When I look at the aspirations, the goals, the ambitions of the American people, I think that people are ready for a new way forward. In a way that generations of Americans have been fueled by hope and by optimism. I think, sadly, in the last decade, we have had in the former president someone who has really been pushing an agenda and an environment that is about diminishing the character and the strength of who we are as Americans, really dividing our nation. And I think people are ready to turn the page on that.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show.
I got bored in the middle of that.
She's talking so slow. Anyway, that's not the point. I mean, it's kind of the point. The question is, and this was one of the, this was maybe the first actual question of the interview. What are you going to do on day one? If you said to Donald Trump, what are you going to do on day one of your presidency? How many things do you think he would be able to list off that were day one actions?
Probably four or five. He might just keep going, too.
I think it's a lot more than that. If you're talking about simple executive orders that you can sign.
Oh, yeah.
In order, on day one, I'm going to do this. On day one, I mean, if you think about day one is a capital D-O thing in politics. On day one, I am going to blah, 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 blah. And if you listen to Joe Biden and the way he has talked leading into becoming the president and then also what he's bragged about, day one, the number one thing they did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline. You could day one open the Keystone Pipeline. There are a lot of day one things you can do. She says, I'm going to do a number of things. And the only thing she said she was going to do was strengthen the middle class. Now, imagine a scenario just for a second where on day one, Kamala Harris, as the president, could effectively, provably strengthen the middle class. Imagine that that was actually even realistic. And then add in the fact that she's been the vice president of an administration that's chosen 3.5 years to not do that. And she's been a part of it. And she goes on in this interview later to brag about the transformative job that Joe Biden has done as a president and how history is going to look back on Joe Biden and really find him to be a consequential president. When you say to a candidate, what are you going to do on day one? And they give you some sort of theoretical, broad platitude. We're going to strengthen the middle class. Oh, yeah. How are you going to do that, Dana? That was the question that you should have asked and the follow up that you didn't. But that's not an answer. Does Kamala Harris know that's a non-answer? I think so, because she never gives definitive answers. There's no substance whatsoever. And it's very frustrating to hear Dana ask a question that is a pointed question. You're waiting to hear that she's going to say that she's going to do something on energy, climate change, taxes, you know, some sort of subsidies, border stuff. I mean, you want to talk about day one? I bet you Donald Trump could spend an hour listing things that they're going to do on day one just simply on the border. She spends 1 minute and 4 seconds and giving only one point, which is to strengthen the middle class, which is an idea. It's not an action. And, you know, we could discuss, if we knew the details, whether or not her thoughts on strengthening the middle class would actually effectively do that. She spends a minute and four seconds of a 28-minute interview giving a non-answer about what she's going to do on day one. And half of it is spent criticizing Donald Trump. I repeat what I've said before. She's got nothing. And she doesn't think that she has to have anything. She thinks not being Trump is going to be enough. And I really don't see that materializing for the American people. Here she is when asked about the border.
Joe Biden and I and our administration worked with members of the United States Congress on an immigration issue that is very significant to the American people and to our security, which is the border.
She's said nothing so far. That's 12 seconds of her saying absolutely nothing, saying the names of people who are involved and saying that they worked together.
And through bipartisan work, including some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress, a bill was crafted, which we supported, which I support. And Donald Trump got word of this bill that would have contributed to securing our border. And because he believes that it would not have helped him politically, he told his folks in Congress, don't put it forward. He killed the bill. A border security bill that would have put 1,500 more agents on the border.
1,500 more agents that were going to process people into the country, not stop people from coming. You remember that wall that you said you support now? You know, that medieval vanity project, that was what you said about Donald Trump's wall when it was his wall. Now, for some reason, you support it. When we talk about this bipartisan border bill, I think the Kentucky, was it a Republican senator from Kentucky that maybe was the bipartisan effort?
Was it Lankford from Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, yes.
Okay.
I was actually thinking Kentucky, and I'm like, I don't think that's left on the map enough. West.
There you go.
This is the part you're never going to hear explained in a political conversation. The reason why Donald Trump came out against this bill and pushed so hard for them to not support it is because the American people revolted on support for this bill. The bill never had America's bipartisan support. Some people in the swamp decided to put this bill together while other Republicans in the Senate said, this is a terrible idea. Why would we streamline the process of getting people in here? When we say putting more agents on the border and talking about putting more judges on, they're just trying to adjudicate these processes faster so that they can come into the country. There's still like a 2 or 3 month turnaround, according to that bill, should it have passed. There'd still be a 2 or 3 month turnaround where if you come here, you claim asylum, you've got to come back in 2 or 3 months. It's like less than 5% of the people who are supposed to return for their court date actually come back for their court date. What they wanted to do was streamline the process so more people could come into this and be in the system, a system that they don't participate in, which you could tell by the evidence that they're actually coming here in the first place.
Yeah, it would have made illegals more legal quicker.
Yes, exactly.
Not even legal, but just more official.
You put a wall up?
Yeah.
Like the ones they were putting around the DNC? Why? I don't know. To keep people out? Keep people in? Maybe nobody ever considered that. Don't leave. Don't leave. I know it's terrible.
Oh, bro.
Stay here. Don't make me go to Hotties for Harris. Don't do it. I need to leave.
I'm not a huge fan of John Legend. Get me out.
I thought Hulk Hogan was going to be here.
Turned down for what?
When you see the Democrats repeatedly putting walls up in order to police situations that are favorable to them, but they're like, screw the wall around the country, no problem, nothing to see here. It's a little disheartening, but it's very predictable as well. Now, whenever they come back and they say, A, we had a bipartisan bill and it failed because of Trump. Trump was the voice of the American people to those that were in the swamp in D.C. saying, don't do this. Bad bill. Don't give the Democrats what they want here, which is a streamlined process to keep illegal immigration hopping. Donald Trump, to his credit, was the voice of the American people to the D.C. swamp to say, knock this off. This is not a win. Yes, if you do this, it's going to make the Democrats look like they got some kind of bipartisan win on the border. The problem with that was not that the Democrats would have a win. It's that they would call it a bipartisan win and it would be a bigger loss for the American people. Don't pass a bad bill. And Senator Lankford, among other Republicans, were like, you're right, we're backing away. That is what happened there. Now, they do, the Democrats do have the talking point about this bipartisan bill that was written, which is on Lankford for participating in the process and not seeing the forest for the trees to begin with. But thank God for Donald Trump, who stopped this stupid bad bill from being passed in the first place, because he was the one listening to the American people and saying, this is not what we want, and pushing that on. He is influential enough that, just think for a hot second, that Donald Trump's influence on how legislation is passed in Congress as a non-president was clearly more influential than the guy who is the president of the United States. That's the kind of leadership we need.
Yeah, Lankford was, it was a little bit of old-fashioned politics that he thought, you know what, if we can even get a little bit done with Democrats, because it's so bad that maybe they'll do a good faith negotiation with us, we can get something done. So he entered into negotiations with them. That was the original bipartisanship part of it. Then Democrats changed it. Republicans wanted more. Democrats wanted less. Democrats changed it and said, why won't you now vote for this bipartisan bill? Well, because it's not at all what we had originally agreed on. So it really, if you want to really examine it, what it looks like is Democrats had no intention of fixing the border at all, entered into those negotiations just to get this election talking point, and they have used it and used it and used it, and there are still leftists in our chat that believe that.
Yeah, but the important part is they're here.
Welcome.
I wanted to play this clip because you boys both were saying that you found this one to be, I think the word you used was entertaining.
My family was staying with us, and including my baby nieces, and we had just had pancakes and, you know, Auntie, can I have more bacon? Yes, I'll make you more bacon. And then we were gonna sit, we were sitting down to do a puzzle, and the phone rang, and it was Joe Biden, and he told me what he had decided to do. And I asked him, are you sure? And he said, yes. And but that's how I learned about it.
So a couple of things. Was the puzzle like, how do I become the president? Aside from that, when I think about this conversation, you know, what do I know? I've never been there. I don't have any intel on from the inside. But it really is kind of shocking to me that in the midst of everything that was going on and him doing press conferences to prove that he was capable, and it was really proving quite the opposite, listening to person after person after person on the left start to peel off and be like, I just don't think this is right. I don't think that he should be the guy. And then everybody else pushing back three times as hard, saying he's never been better. He's got so much. I mean, it was like none of it. No, you can't lie to us and expect us to just go along with it. Kamala Harris being the leader of the pack of people who are saying that he was A-okay and hard for her to keep up with. Imagine that Joe Biden is hard for Kamala Harris to keep up with, and she's the one who they're like, she should be president. That doesn't make any sense. But in the midst of all of this, isn't it strange that the president of the United States called the vice president of the United States while she was making bacon and doing puzzles with her kids and was like, hey, I'm dropping out. Doesn't that deserve more than a breakfast phone call?
Also, just the idea that she had no idea. Like, Joe's fine.
You're kidding me.
He's going to continue to be the president because he's sharp as a tack. I've said it 1,000 times, and so has everybody else on every major station. He is sharp as a tack. And then he calls me while I'm doing a puzzle and tells me that he's going to drop out. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Come
blew my
on.
Mind. Dana followed up with her and asked her, did you ask for his endorsement? And Kamala's response was, no, he made it very clear right away. I'm dropping out. And part of the conversation was, you get my full endorsement. Wouldn't you want to have that conversation face to face?
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to hear about it outside of Twitter? Like, you're going to announce, I don't think I'm going to run for president again. Just in a tweet. You don't even know if it's him.
It's something. Okay, here's what I want to do. We're shuffling things around today. I want to take phone calls. I want to hear what you guys think. You can answer one of two questions when you call us at 314-241-9797. The first question is, what did you think about Kamala Harris's interview with Dana Bash and Tim Walz? He was there too. I forgot about that. You can grade the interview and give your reaction to it. And the second question you can ask, you got to pick one or the others. Who would you rather ride a roller coaster with? And why? Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? You can give us a call at 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, and tell us what you think about that interview last night. Love to hear your thoughts on it. We've talked about it quite a bit. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll do Ask Us Anything. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Good. Send us your questions on the YouTube chat as to what you would like us to answer. We got Ethan and Ryan and myself in here today, and we're here to answer anything that you want to ask us. And when we come back, your phone calls, your reactions to the Kamala Harris interview. 314-241-9797. Back in a minute.
I think riding a roller coaster with Trump would be fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantastic. He would be all, you know, pumping fist in the air, having a good time, woo-hoo. And I think Kamala would be screaming like a little girl, and I couldn't stand that. So.
Barry, thank you for the phone or for the recording. That's our YouTube live chat poll for today. Who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? And if you want to leave us one of those voice messages, if you go to the Odyssey app where you can stream 97.1 FM Talk, it's very simple. You just click the little microphone next to where you would play 97.1 FM Talk. Talk into your phone, and then that's all you do? Is that, as I understand
it? Yeah, that's it. You just hit that microphone, and it records you, and then you can send it. You can edit. You don't have to send it. If you don't like what you did, you know, you can redo it or whatever, or not send it at all. So it's not like
once you do it.
It's not like you're in now.
Yeah.
It's going to the show.
It's not like what we do for a living.
That's exactly what we do.
Once we do it, you're just going to have to live that one.
Yeah.
Live that one out and live it
down. We are live all the time.
We are going to take phone calls right now. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. And I want to know one of two things. You can give us a call, and Ethan or Drew will take your phone call and screen it and tell us which of these topics you want to discuss. How did you feel about Kamala Harris's CNN interview? Let us know your reaction to it. If you were grading it?
Yeah, I actually would give it a C. Because that's exactly what they were shooting for. In that sense, it was an A, but they were going for the most average, hey, we did it, it didn't make a lot of waves, you didn't notice it, let's just go away now.
Simply, every morning when I wake up and I get a news alert, 36 days, and Kamala Harris hasn't done an interview, 37 days, now that headline is gone.
That's the point.
I woke up today and it said 40 days and Kamala Harris hasn't done a press conference.
Nice,
and I was
thank
like,
you.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So we want to take your phone calls. You can react to Kamala Harris's interview, but you can also answer the question. If you don't want to do that, call in and tell us who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. And we're going to go through these as fast as we can. So we're going to put you on. You can make your point, and then we're going to get to the rest of the phone calls because we got quite a few to get to here. I'm going to start with Mark. Mark, thanks for calling the Andy Fry Show. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, thanks. So really, I didn't call in for that. I called in because... You guys, listen, the nationally syndicated show, I travel, these nationally syndicated shows have absolutely nothing on you guys. As a matter of fact, when I am in town and I'm tuning in, I'm scanning in the car, and you come on, and I really assumed, my assumption is this is a national, and then you call, here, you want to call in, it's a St. Louis number. You guys... I mean, this format, the way you have it right now, that is a winner.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
And I'm telling you what, listen to me. Somebody ought to take this. You have a great show.
Oh, I'm so uncomfortable right now, but that's so nice.
And by the way, that interview doesn't count. It's got to be, she has to be extemporaneous. She has to be, sorry, someone's calling it. She's got to be able to take questions on the fly. without preparation, I mean, my gosh, come on. Yeah. Anyway, thanks again.
Mark, thank you. That was incredibly kind.
I got to tell you, he's right about everything except the show.
Give me my pen back. I just dropped it.
It went right in my eye. Just an accident, I guess.
You weren't using that anyway.
No, he's right, though. Annie, I'm going to do the opposite now. Annie, you really do a great job. You put this thing together every day. It's like herding cats, and I mean to put this thing together. It needs a strong hand at the top.
You can have an oatmeal cream pie. They're in the top drawer.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
Mark, that was very kind of you. Thank you. Mark is not my dad. It's not your dad, right?
No, it's my dad.
Okay.
Mark Wiggins.
Mark Wiggins.
That's a good ring to it.
Yeah.
Let's get to Jordan. Jordan, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. You want to tell us, who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris?
For sure. Jordan, you know what I mean? Longtime listener, a.k.a. Grimy314 in the chat. Shout out to all the lefties out there in the chat.
Well, welcome
you. I would not want to ride with Trump, though. I would ride with Kamala. Because I don't know if the last time you guys rode a roller coaster with like a 80-year-old senior citizen. I don't know if he could take it, the strain on his heart. He doesn't eat the best. He's not in the best shape. You know, I'm just going to go with the safer option.
So you're going with Kamala Harris because you're afraid Trump would die or have a medical event?
I'm afraid Grandpa Trump would die on that on the roller coaster, depending on which one we go on.
Did Joe Biden's age bother you?
Yeah, it did.
It did. I believe you.
It most definitely did.
Yeah, I believe you.
I don't think that's a terrible concern.
What kind of risks are we taking here in the long run?
If we're strictly talking roller coasters, Trump. And then if I could add a little bit, the interview, I mean, if we're going to criticize the CNN interview, we got to also criticize the Theo Von interview. We got to criticize the Elon Musk interview. They're the same thing. Nobody was taking the really hard-hitting questions. They're all softballs.
I think Theo Von asked more pointed, direct questions about policy of Donald Trump, and I am sugaring you not here, that the actual push that Theo Von had towards Donald Trump regarding lobbyists, Big Pharma, and all of that was more direct and pointed, and he actually followed up in a way that made me uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, let it go. Move on. I think we all here have said that the CNN interview wasn't bad. I don't think it was good. I think it was a nothing burger.
Well, you can criticize the Theo Von and the Elon Musk and stuff like that as being, that's all friendly territory. But I mean, J.D. Vance and Trump do hostile interviews all the time.
Yeah.
So there is a big difference there.
When was the last hostile interview?
I mean, J.D. Vance literally sat down with Dana Bash just like 2 weeks ago. So
Dana.
It's the same. I'm sorry.
Okay, but real quick before we let you go, Jordan, and we do appreciate that you listen to the show and you do participate.
Long-time listener.
We appreciate you. Would you like to see Kamala Harris sit down with a Bret Baier or a Fox News host?
Would I like to see it? No. Do I think that she could stand up to it? And come out looking like way better than Trump would on some of these, what you would call opposing outlets. Yes, I think she's smart enough. I think that she wouldn't go into it and get emotional. I think that she's someone that can handle herself in a hostile situation.
Why wouldn't she want her to take that opportunity and win that interview?
Because I think that it's like a feeding ground, right? I think that people are just going to go in for the kill, much like they do Trump. I'm not even going to when it's not your home turf, people are going to go in with the questions that they know, or they're going to try and befuddle you. They're going to try and make you look dumb. They're going to try and have stuff for, you know, the pundits to talk about the next day. So would I want to see that happen to her? No. But do I think that she could handle it? Most definitely.
Jordan, last question, which I think I already said once. Do you think that Kamala Harris's interview was on home turf?
I mean, most definitely.
Okay. Yeah. This is why I like him.
Okay.
I like you, Jordan. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
For sure.
Take care. Let's get to Steve's call. Steve, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. The Kamala Harris CNN interview, what do you think?
Are you inquiring as to Steve?
Yes. Go ahead, Steve.
That would be myself.
Yes.
Her responses were entirely too vague, entirely unspecific, and she came back with simply platitudes. An easy example of that was when it was asked why she would now enforce the border, where she had not done so previously, and she said her values were the same. If you could reverse that and ask, what would you say if President Trump said that he was now going to open the borders and allow criminals in? But don't worry, his values were the same and he hadn't changed. People would go crazy over that answer. But they let Kamala Harris get away with it.
Do you think she helped herself last night or made a difference?
I do not. She spoke for 17 minutes. That was it. And the entire interview was 1 hour, so it was edited down, obviously. I think it was entirely too vague, and the interviewer simply let her get away with things. I think it was a mild negative. Mm-hmm. And she looked physically small.
Yes.
When you look at it, I mean, she looked extremely, she obviously is smaller than Tim Walz, but she also looked physically diminished,
yeah,
even against Dana Bash.
Which is an unforced error. I don't know why they did that.
That was weird.
Steve, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate you.
All right.
Take care. Great voice, too. You could sound more like Steve.
Steve, you want to be the station voice?
Is that up?
You can just do it on the phone if you want to.
Let me get to Dorothy is on the line here. Who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, Dorothy?
Donald Trump, because he's put his arm around me and he said, "Thing there, it's going to be all right."
Oh, it's all feelings with you guys.
I love it. She just wants to feel safe and secure.
Can I comment on one thing that I'm shocked no one has commented on?
Sure.
As I recall, it was around 2007 or 8 that, I can't even remember who was president, I think it was Obama, but he said, everyone deserves home ownership. We're going to make it easier for them to have home ownership. And what happened 2 years later? Everything fell apart. Mm. We had that huge breakdown. Companies went out of business. It was awful. And now they want to do it again?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Dorothy?
History repeats itself.
We all want Donald Trump to put his arm around us and tell us it's going to be okay. And steering clear from socialism is kind of like square one. I think you're spot on. Thanks,
yes.
Dorothy, thank you. We appreciate
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Really, on a roller coaster, anybody that wants to sit next to me and tell me it's okay, that's fine.
It's funny, because when I sit next to you on roller coasters, I'm like, you could die.
Yeah, that's why I don't like riding roller coasters with you.
He especially wants it to be Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I know, gosh.
In shorts.
Did you and I ride any roller coasters together?
I don't think we rode ride.
Did we ride Slinky together?
Oh, we did, Slinky Dog Dash.
It was like a thing.
Yeah, we did a whole video. I don't know if we ever used it, but
no, I think I have the video of us riding Slinky Dog Dash together.
Me and you, and then Brad and Hannah behind us.
Yeah,
I think in that video. Yeah, I don't remember much other than that we were on camera the whole time, and I had to think about that instead of the ride.
I probably didn't upload it anywhere because I laughed the whole time.
Yes, you did.
I was like giggling the whole time. Yeah. And it's like, it's super annoying when you go back and watch it. I don't know if we're going to ever share that. Brian, who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris.
Why?
I want to have Mexican food first. I want to release a bunch of gas just to make her life so miserable as they have done for me and uncomfortable for the last several years. And then the second thing is, I'd really like to see a debate, a real debate between the two with no mediator. I want Trump to ask questions. I want Kamala to ask questions so we can each see what they really stand for and the differences, and not just, oh, this one's being weak on the questions and pampering, and, you know, because those two would tear each other up, or one of them would.
It would be interesting, especially if they both ate Mexican food right before that.
Shoot, at this point, it's put him in an octagon and put just one mic in there.
Brian.
Whoever wins it.
There you go.
Quite a phone call. Thank you for reaching out to us.
She just wants to fart on
it. It's almost unfair to
say. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate you.
It's almost unfair to say something as funny as that and then go straight into it. But actually, this is what I think about.
The
I
debate.
Mean, it was just, yeah, so quick. And he was like, he couldn't breathe over there.
he like really thought that out.
Here's what I'll
do.
He
wants to gas Kamala Harris out.
I'll just get real gassy.
But the point, it wasn't just like he would take pleasure in that. He was like, his point was, I want to make her as uncomfortable as she has made me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could end up being dangerous for him too, though. So he's willing to put himself in a dangerous position just for we're going to suffer.
Wow. Oh, man.
You think she would back off of communism if somebody farted next to him really like that? I don't
imagine if all of this time and all of these years, that's all it took.
That's what it took? Oh, man.
I got a response from Timothy on our voice chats that have been left. How can people go leave us some more of those, Ryan?
If you're listening online or you'd like to listen online, find 97.1 through the Odyssey app, and then find the microphone in the button in the right down corner. I said that very well. Bottom right corner, microphone, hit it. You record a message and we get it, man. Thank you for letting me do that.
I went to you, so it would be clear.
Yep.
And now I feel like people have changed the station.
You can leave anytime, but hey, you know what? You should do not leave.
More phone calls when we come back. Can we, Ryan? You need to leave. I'm running low on people here on the show today, but I'm going to have to ask you. Just take a minute. You go get one of those oatmeal cream pies. We'll be right back. Music in the background of You and Me riding Slinky Dog together.
Yeah, this or let the bodies hit the floor. Just same test both.
Same vibe.
See which one you like.
I like it.
That's a song that my son was singing one time. I go, Charlie, do you know what you're singing? And he's kind of like paused, and he was like, oh. And I'm like, do you want to know the rest of the lyrics of that song? He's like, probably not. And I'm like, let's take a ride here. And then I tell him, I think about all of these songs that I hear as an adult, and I know all the words to them, and I go back and think about it for a second, and I'm just like, that's filthy.
Don't know all the lyrics to that other than the chorus. Must be pretty bad.
It's just like not what you... There's a mood to the song, but you're not thinking about it. That's the way it is with most songs. There's just a...
Is it like a love song? And then the chorus is different? You're like,
that's
oh.
That's why you said you wanted to play it behind riding a Slinky Dog roller coaster with me.
That's true.
So we got some more people who have left some responses to our YouTube live chat poll on our voice messaging system. Here's Timothy.
Well, I believe that, if you're going to ride a roller coaster with Donald Trump and or Kamala Harris, I think Kamala Harris is going to turn into what might be called a woo girl. And she's just going to go woo all the way through it. And that might be irritating, sort of, because, she needs to stay out of my ear. And as long as she just says woo and doesn't open her mouth and try to make any other statements, well, then she could be okay. Donald Trump, I believe, would talk and say, well, I've done this before and it's really perfect, but it was perfect before and now it could be better and we're going to work on that and it's the best ever. And then maybe he just kind of talks all the way through it, commenting on all the way through the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a really nice turn, or that was a really nice loop-de-loop. But, everything could have been perfect.
Where he doesn't even let the roller coaster get a word in edgewise.
I think that's a pretty good assessment.
Ethan, if you could pick to ride with Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, who would you ride a roller coaster with? What roller coaster would you pick first? Do you have a fave? Are you a roller coaster person?
I'm not huge on amusement parks because I don't like a lot of people. but
that's very honest and relatable.
But I did go to Universal last spring and I really enjoyed the Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
That one was really cool.
That's an intense one.
It's
great coaster.
Worth the wait.
I've never
long
done
wait.
It. Who would you like to ride the Velocicoaster with?
I feel like, I don't know. My thought is Trump. And the reason is because you see when he comes out for his rallies, he has those little like dance moves that he does. Like it shows me he's willing to show a little bit of personality.
That he might have
there.
A little fun.
Yeah. I think that, it may not be fists fully in the air, but maybe like fists partially in the air, kind of like, showing a little bit of enjoyment. And I just think it'd just be like riding with any random stranger if you're riding with Kamala Harris. I don't think it'd be anything interesting.
Yeah.
But Trump
That's
is a
exactly
wild card.
How you could describe the possibility of her presidency and currently her campaign.
Trump's a little more of a wild card, though, when it comes to, the coaster. You don't know what to expect.
I'm going to choose the time traveler at Silver Dollar City.
Okay.
Just so I can get Trump to Missouri, first of all, because I would choose Trump. And the reason I would choose Trump over Harris, because I think it would be fun to do either one. But I would choose Donald Trump because I think in an environment like that, you might see the facade come down a little bit. And
yeah, get a little more.
You might get a little surprise. You might see some facial expressions you've never seen before. And he's pretty consistent. I would like to see that break a little bit.
When I ride roller coasters, I generally laugh a lot. It's kind of my reaction. There's a little bit of whooping or whatever, but we made this comment yesterday, I think it was, but I said, when Donald Trump belly laughs, do we know what that sounds like or looks like? And I don't know that I can't really picture.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't know that we've ever heard him really. The only thing I can sort of picture, and I'm not sure that we've really seen this much either, is if something really takes him off guard, if he's in an interview, and I don't know if Theo Vaughn did this, but it would be in that scenario. Something really surprises him and it kind of catches him. That's about as much as I've ever seen him laugh.
A lot of times in order to really get someone, you like comedy and you study comedy more than most people do, but when you really get people to laugh, there is a huge element to having to catch them off guard. You have to make them have a realization or an understanding that they didn't have until you told them that. And then you spawn this like emotional reaction that causes somebody to laugh. Like you can be sitting and seeing something and kind of chuckle or just be internally amused and realize that if you're scrolling through your phone and you see a funny meme, like you can be like, and you don't even actually physically smile. You are amused. You thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But to get somebody to get to that point where there is actual laughter, especially if you get to the part where it kind of starts to roll, you have to be willing to kind of let go of yourself and react to something like that. Donald Trump has such command over everything all of the time that, to your point, if you put him on a roller coaster and there was such a physical element to it that he would not have control. That's what is exciting about roller coasters, is you're really surrendering yourself to the ride. I think that would be amazing. Like, I'm total Team Trump. I would love to ride a roller coaster with Team Trump.
I don't know if it actually would break him, though. I mean, you'd probably see something change on his face a little bit, but I don't know how much. But that's why I would like to see. And the woo girl comment thing. See, I actually enjoy, if I'm riding with somebody and they're yelling, and if it's a girl, she's that's fun.
Yeah.
That to me is the reason you ride, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like the social reason.
Michael's here with us. Michael, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. You wanted to react to the Kamala Harris interview. What did you think? What were your thoughts on it?
Hey, Annie, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Nice to talk to you guys again. I actually liked it. I was waiting, like everyone else, for the opportunity to see her since the convention. I thought that she did a good job. And to your point earlier that I was listening about when he basically lied about his service, like I think everyone concedes to that. Like, okay, you wasn't telling the truth about it because he didn't just come out and say like it was wrong. But I really, my thing is like up to the point of the interview, I was noticing just the disdain as far as, you know, why she hasn't had an interview in 40 days. And the issue that I had with that was that, you know, Trump didn't even participate in the primaries. You know, he didn't participate in any of the debates on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the Republicans were frustrated or had a disdain. They were all understanding about it.
No, that's not true.
So it was like,
there are a lot of Republicans that thought he needed to be there. There just weren't enough of them to beat him. You still there, Michael? I hear your blinker.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm driving. I'm on 170.
Be safe. Be careful. I think that when you, I don't think it's a fair comparison. I think it's apples and oranges, just because when Donald Trump elected to not really kind of play ball with the RNC and not show up to the debates, the thing about the RNC is they still went through the primary process without Donald Trump. And I myself was like, I wonder if it's a risk for him to not participate. It turned out to be something that he made a decision for himself along with his campaign that paid off for him. I don't think he needed to be in those debates. And it was clear that the Republican Party voters still supported Donald Trump over these other people. But the RNC didn't just say, well, Donald Trump says he's the nominee and we're going to go with him and we're going to scrap everything else. That's really what the DNC has said when Joe Biden stepped out. I feel like it's apples and oranges. And to your point, I do think that it's worth criticizing that he didn't participate in that system. But it was a risk that he was the one who got to choose to take. And I think it paid off for him.
But in this situation with Joe Biden, the Republicans and the Democrats held him a problem. Everyone was like, yo, he's not looking too good, right? Mm-hmm. And the Republicans was like, hey, this guy can't do it. So when the Democrats did something about that in the last minute and he ceded that and dropped down, that was an issue. That was a problem, too. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems that there's such an era of negativity and criticism that no matter what Democrats do, there's going to be a complaint. If Kamala Harris, okay, she says we're going to not tax tips. Well, doggone it. He said it first. Like, oh, if she doesn't do an interview first, it's like then she does an interview, we're going to point out everything that we find negative.
Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democrats are being unfairly treated and there's too much negative attention to them comparative to the Republicans and Trump?
I think that they're getting more negative treatment from Republicans. I think that to bypass
the Democrats
Trump already being
the Democrats literally refer to Donald Trump as Hitler.
No, that was J.D. Vance who said that.
J.D. Vance said that, and he's answered for it. But nobody would ever ask the Democrats to answer for it. They only asked J.D. Vance to do it because J.D. Vance's crime is that he became a Republican.
But I guess the thing is Donald Trump is set to be sentenced. He was found guilty, and I think that holds a big shade more than Kamala Harris, vice president, lying about going into war with a weapon. I think that we know, like everyone who I've saw, they said, well, we know what to expect from Trump. You do know what to expect from Trump. And is it okay? Like,
I think, Michael, that Ethan, can I have an extra minute here so that Michael and I can finish this conversation on good terms, Michael? I think that I think what you expect from Donald Trump and what I expect from Donald Trump are all not, they're like parallel realities. They're not the same, though.
Mm. I think as Americans, we want our representative who represents all of us to have class. We want him to have a presence of integrity. We want to have a sense that we are protected. We do agree that our borders should be secured. We do agree that, you know, we want no inflation. We want a strong economy. We all want these things. But in the midst of this, don't we want to have someone who has a sense that doesn't resort to name calling and childish behaviors?
Tim Walz making weird the overarching thing for Democrats to call anybody who might vote Republican. Michael, I got less than a minute left. I'm just saying to you that all of those things that you say you want out of a leader, I want that too. And I see that from Donald Trump. I know that you don't, and I understand that you have reasons not to. And I look at Kamala Harris and don't think that she is what would bring the safety, the security, the integrity to the Oval Office that I would like to see there. And I know that you don't see that for Trump.
Let me ask you this.
15 seconds.
When Trump continues to call her stupid and play on her intelligence, and this is a woman who risen herself up, who actually questioned Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court justice and did a thorough job of that, I find it really degrading to call her intelligent, unintelligent, and stupid.
I got a heartbreak, Michael.
Go ahead.
I appreciate you. I got to hang up because I got to go here in 20 seconds. I don't think Kamala Harris has risen herself up throughout the course of politics in a way. Are we going to 7:50? In a way that Michael is explaining. We can talk about it more on the other side. I do have to get to a hard break. I wasn't just saying that to Michael. And we appreciate our left and right callers. Some of you are just more right than the others. Just kidding, Michael. We'll be right back. You go get one of those oatmeal cream pies. We'll be right back. Music in the background of you and me riding Slinky Dog together.
Yeah, this or let the bodies hit the floor. Just same test both.
Same vibe.
See which one you like.
I like it.
That's a song that my son was singing one time. I go, Charlie, do you know what you're singing? And he's kind of like paused and he was like, oh. And I'm like, do you want to know the rest of the lyrics of that song? He's like, probably not. And I'm like, let's take a ride here. And then I tell him, I think about all of these songs that I hear as an adult and I know all the words to them and I go back and think about it for a second and I'm just like, that's filthy. It's
I actually
terrible.
Don't know all the lyrics to that other than the chorus. Must be pretty bad.
It's just like not what you. There's a mood to the song, but you're not thinking about it. That's the way it is with most songs. There's just a.
Is it like a love song, and then the chorus is different? You're like,
that's
oh.
That's why you said you wanted to play it behind riding a Slinky Dog roller coaster with me.
That's true.
So we got some more people who have left some responses to our YouTube live chat poll on our voice messaging system. Here's Timothy.
Well, I believe that, you know, if you're going to ride a roller coaster with Donald Trump and or Kamala Harris, I think Kamala Harris is going to turn into what might be called a woo girl. And she's just going to go woo all the way through it. And that might be irritating, sort of, because, well, you know, she needs to stay out of my ear. And as long as she just says woo and doesn't open her mouth and try to make any other statements, well, then she could be okay. Donald Trump, I believe, would talk and say, well, you know, I've done this before, and it's really perfect, but it was perfect before, and now it could be better, and we're going to work on that, and it's the best ever. And then maybe he just kind of talks all the way through it, commenting on all the way through the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a really nice turn, or that was a really nice loop-de-loop. But, you know, everything could have been perfect.
Where he doesn't even let the roller coaster get a word in edgewise.
I think that's a pretty good assessment.
Ethan, if you could pick to ride with Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, who would you ride a roller coaster with? What roller coaster would you pick first? Do you have a fave? Are you a roller coaster person?
I'm not huge on amusement parks because I don't like a lot of people. but
that's very honest and relatable.
But I did go to Universal last spring and I really enjoyed the Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
That one was really cool.
That's an intense one.
It's a
great coaster.
Worth the wait.
I've never
long
done
wait.
It. Who would you like to ride the Velocicoaster with?
I feel like, I don't know. My thought is Trump. And the reason is because you see when he comes out for his rallies, he has those little like dance moves that he does. Like it shows me he's willing to show a little bit of personality.
That he might
there.
Have a little fun.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it may not be fists fully in the air, but maybe like fists partially in the air, mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, showing a little bit of enjoyment. And I just think it'd just be like riding with any random stranger if you're riding with Kamala Harris. I don't think it'd be anything interesting.
Yeah.
But Trump
That's
is a
exactly
wild card.
Exactly how you could describe the possibility of her presidency and currently her campaign.
Trump's a little more of a wild card, though, when it comes to, you know, the coaster. You don't know what to expect.
I'm going to choose the time traveler at Silver Dollar City.
Okay.
Just so I can get Trump to Missouri, first of all, because I would choose Trump. And the reason I would choose Trump over Harris, because I think it would be fun to do either one. But I would choose Donald Trump because I think in an environment like that, you might see the facade come down a little bit. And
get a little more.
You might get a little, surprised. You might see some facial expressions you've never seen before. And he's pretty consistent. I would like to see that break a little bit.
When I ride roller coasters, I generally laugh a lot. It's kind of my reaction. There's a little bit of whooping or whatever, but we made this comment yesterday, I think it was, but I said, when Donald Trump belly laughs, do we know what that sounds like or looks like? And I don't know that I can't really picture.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't know that we've ever heard him really. The only thing I can sort of picture, and I'm not sure that we've really seen this much either, is if something really takes him off guard, if he's in an interview, and I don't know if Theo Vaughn did this, but it would be in that scenario. Something really surprises him, and it kind of catches him. That's about as much as I've ever seen him laugh.
A lot of times, in order to really get someone, you like comedy, and you study comedy more than most people do, but when you really get people to laugh, there is a huge element to having to catch them off guard. You have to make them have a realization or an understanding that they didn't have until you told them that. And then you spawn this like emotional reaction that causes somebody to laugh. Like you can be sitting and seeing something and kind of chuckle or just be internally amused and realize that if you're scrolling through your phone and you see a funny meme, like you can be like, and you don't even actually physically smile. You are amused. You thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But to get somebody to get to that point where there is actual laughter, especially if you get to the part where it kind of starts to roll, you have to be willing to kind of let go of yourself and react to something like that. Donald Trump has such command over everything all of the time that, to your point, if you put him on a roller coaster and there was such a physical element to it that he would not have control. That's what is exciting about roller coasters, is you're really surrendering yourself to the ride. I think that would be amazing. Like, I'm total Team Trump. I would love to ride a roller coaster with Team Trump.
I don't know if it actually would break him, though. I mean, you'd probably see something change on his face a little bit, but I don't know how much. But that's why I would like to see. And the woo girl comment thing. See, I actually enjoy, if I'm riding with somebody and they're yelling, and if it's a girl, she's that's fun. Yeah. That to me is the reason you ride, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like the social reason.
Michael's here with us. Michael, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. You wanted to react to the Kamala Harris interview. What did you think? What were your thoughts on it?
Hey, Annie, how are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Nice to talk to you guys again. I actually liked it. I was waiting, like everyone else, for the opportunity to see her since the convention. I thought that she did a good job. And to your point earlier that I was listening about when he basically lied about his service, like, I think everyone concedes to that. Like, okay, you wasn't telling the truth about it, because he didn't just come out and say like it was wrong. But I really, my thing is like, up to the point of the interview, I was noticing just the disdain as far as, you know, why she hasn't had an interview in 40 days. And the issue that I had with that was that, you know, Trump didn't even participate in the primaries. You know, he didn't participate in any of the debates on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the Republicans were frustrated or had a disdain. They were all understanding about it.
No, that's not true.
So it's like,
there are a lot of Republicans that thought he needed to be there. There just weren't enough of them to beat him. You still there, Michael? I hear your blinker.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm driving. I'm on 170.
Be safe. Be careful. I think that I don't think it's a fair comparison. I think it's apples and oranges, just because when Donald Trump elected to not really kind of play ball with the RNC and not show up to the debates, the thing about the RNC is they still went through the primary process without Donald Trump. And I myself was like, I wonder if it's a risk for him to not participate. It turned out to be something that he made a decision for himself along with his campaign that paid off for him. I don't think he needed to be in those debates. And it was clear that the Republican Party voters still supported Donald Trump over these other people. But the RNC didn't just say, well, Donald Trump says he's the nominee and we're going to go with him and we're going to scrap everything else. That's really what the DNC has said when Joe Biden stepped out. I feel like it's apples and oranges. And to your point, I do think that it's worth criticizing that he didn't participate in that system. But it was a risk that he was the one who got to choose to take. And I think it paid off for him.
But in this situation with Joe Biden, the Republicans and the Democrats held him a problem. Everyone was like, yo, he's not looking too good. Right. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans was like, hey, this guy can't do it. So when the Democrats did something about that in the last minute and he ceded that and dropped down, that was an issue. That was a problem, too. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems that there's such an era of negativity and criticism that no matter what Democrats do, there's going to be a complaint. If Kamala Harris, okay, she says we're going to not tax tips. Well, doggone it, he said it first. Like, oh, if she doesn't do an interview first, it's like, then she does an interview, we're going to point out everything that we find negative.
Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and the Democrats are being unfairly treated and there's too much negative attention to them comparative to the Republicans and Trump?
I think that they're getting more negative treatment from Republicans. I think that to bypass
the Democrats,
Trump already being,
the Democrats literally refer to Donald Trump as Hitler.
No, that was J.D. Vance who said that.
J.D. Vance said that, and he's answered for it, but nobody would ever ask the Democrats to answer for it. They only asked J.D. Vance to do it, because J.D. Vance's crime is that he became a Republican.
But I guess the thing is Donald Trump is set to be sentenced. He was found guilty. And I think that that holds a big shade more than Kamala Harris, vice president, lying about going into war with a weapon. I think that we know, like everyone who I've saw, they said, well, we know what to expect from Trump. You do know what to expect from Trump. And is it okay? Like,
I think, Michael, that Ethan, can I have an extra minute here so that Michael and I can finish this conversation on good terms, Michael? I think that I think what you expect from Donald Trump and what I expect from Donald Trump are all not, they're like parallel realities. They're not the same, though.
I think as Americans, we want our representative who represents all of us to have class. We want them to have a presence of integrity. We want to have a sense that we are protected. We do agree that our borders should be secured. We do agree that, you know, we want no inflation. We want a strong economy. We all want these things. But in the midst of this, don't we want to have someone who has a sense that doesn't resort to name calling and childish behaviors?
Tim Walz making weird the overarching thing for Democrats to call anybody who might vote Republican. Michael, I got less than a minute left. I'm just saying to you that all of those things that you say you want out of a leader, I want that too. And I see that from Donald Trump. I know that you don't, and I understand that you have reasons not to. And I look at Kamala Harris and don't think that she is what would bring the safety, the security, the integrity to the Oval Office that I would like to see there. And I know that you don't see that for Trump.
Let me ask you this.
15 seconds.
When Trump continues to call her stupid and play on her intelligence, and this is a woman who risen herself up, who actually questioned Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court justice and did a thorough job of that, I find it really degrading to call her intelligent, unintelligent, and stupid.
I got a heartbreak, Michael.
Go ahead.
I appreciate you. I got to hang up because I got to go here in 20 seconds. I don't think Kamala Harris has risen herself up throughout the course of politics in a way. Are we going to 7:50? In a way that Michael is explaining. We can talk about it more on the other side. I do have to get to a hard break. I wasn't just saying that to Michael. And we appreciate our left and right callers. Some of you are just more right than the others. Just kidding, Michael. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.